say to the Lord, you are receiving this peace. And let's just with our voices sing this one more time, just the chorus.
Jesus, we thank you for your amazing grace towards us, a grace that we don't deserve, a grace that is as great as the oceans. Lord, we reflect on that wonderful, amazing grace that is poured out by your death on the cross. And to prove the power of that death, you were resurrected. From death to life, the promise of first fruits for all those who believe and trust in your mighty name. Lord Jesus, we come before you, confessing our sins to you this morning. Cleanse us and make us white and pure in your sight. Thank you, Lord, for this day. We've been able to be called to this place of worship, place after your own name. You said my house should be a house of prayer for the nations. Lord, we come from all nations, and we come here together to be called after your name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I'd have you turn in your bulletins briefly this morning as we look at some of the announcements. Just want to point out that we do have our garage sale coming up. Point number 3 in your bulletins there, August 15th. So be aware of that. If you want to sign up for a table, you believe you've collected enough stuff, or if you've got a few friends here amongst your number and want to get together and have a table together, you're more than welcome to do that. But there's a sign-up sheet on the reception desk, so please avail yourself of that sign-up sheet, signing up for a table for our garage sale. This isn't just an opportunity for us to sell our junk, though it is. It's also an opportunity to connect with our community. And for that, I'm so grateful every year that we run this garage sale, because we have an opportunity to minister to those that are around us and to bless them with our material possessions, but also to receive some of our own finances to make our building expansion project more so a reality. And thank you for continuing to give to that. We have offering boxes at the back of the sanctuary that we continually give to week by week. Thank you for continuing to give to our expansion project. We are well on our way. I believe by the middle of next month is the date that we're going to be seeing the completion of our expansion project. So that's great, and we're celebrating that. Also, you'll look down and point number 5, our Alpha program is going to be beginning in September as well. Again, another opportunity to connect with those that want to know something more about Christianity. Alpha is an excellent program that we run on a 10-week cycle, and we're going to be having kind of a dessert night kind of thing, and looking at, again, Nikki Gumbel, and doing the videos together with those that we have as friends, those that are acquaintances in our community, that we can invite to the Alpha program. So would you be so prayerful and concerned about the Alpha program that you would be thinking about people that you can invite to this excellent program. Also, there's an evangelism class that I'm going to be instructing beginning August 16th, following through for 3 weeks. You might want to take part of that. Maybe you're fearful of telling somebody else about the Christian faith, or maybe you just, how do I do that? Those questions will be answered in that class. Also, you notice our short-term mission team, number 10, they'll be coming home this week. So do pray for their travels as they come back here to us. And also today we're going to be having our care home visit. And we do this maybe about once or twice a month that we go and visit one of our care homes in our area, in our Tri-Cities area. And we have a faithful group of people that go and visit. And usually Peter is leading our singing in our care home. But we always welcome people that want to come out and join us and see what it's all about and meet some of our seniors that just can't get out into the community much and be having an opportunity to worship God together. So if you want to take part in that, just contact Peter and let him know that you'll be coming. Today it's kind of fast at 1:30 p.m. They'll be meeting together at the care home. So do see what you can continue to do in way of offering yourself in service and in loving people in our community. Would you bow your heads again with me as we pray again? Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to come before you and recognize that we are just a small part of this world, this vast world with billions of people that make up our world. But also, Lord, we know that our prayers are effectual and reach God Most High, who is greater and almighty. And so, Lord, we bring to you our concerns of our world. We thank you in this next week. We have Pastor Josh Pradhan, who's going to be here speaking to us. And he's even here with his wife this morning. Thank you for his presence. And we pray for the church in Nepal and India that has suffered so much because of recent earthquakes in that land. We pray for the people that are there as they continue to look at sustaining themselves and look at rebuilding and all that's involved with that. We just pray that, Lord, you would so enable them and, Lord, encourage them. We thank you that even our Canadian Armed Forces have been shipped over there to give a helping hand. We pray for all those that are serving in our charitable service sector, ministering in this capacity to offset the hardships and the difficulties of the Nepalese in this hard-struck area. We're also very much aware, Lord, that our world is torn apart by wars and difficulties, especially in the Middle East. And so, Lord, our continued prayers go up to you in way of the needs of this sector of our world. Thank you, Lord, that continually our governments around the area are becoming more concerned about ISIL and all the insurgency. And we pray, Lord, that somehow, Lord, there can be more political solutions to the difficulties there in that part of the world. We pray that, Lord, you would continue to reap a harvest of so many more people in the Arabic countries that are coming to faith and belief and trust in you because of all these difficulties. Lord, we lean upon you for wisdom. We lean upon you for your wisdom in all these solutions that you bring to the table. Thank you, Lord, that we have Pastor Mark Wong going to preach to us this morning. Bless him as he comes to preach, proclaim your truth. We thank you for his constancy in ministering on our Saturday evening services. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing on his life. And we pray, Lord, that you will give us attentive hearts and listening ears this morning as we hear your word preached. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
have one message for you all this morning. Jesus is coming back. Oh, hey, that's pretty good. I expect a silence for a moment. Jesus is coming back. I have a question for you. When's the last time you thought about that? Five minutes ago, we were singing a song that says, Lord, haste the day when you're coming back. Are you actually ready for that? Are you? I hear one yes. Good for you. Thank you, Mama Chia. You see, that's the thought that, for myself, it hasn't entered my thought process for a very long time. I admit it. When's the last time I was like, oh, Jesus is coming back? Am I prepared? Am I ready for that? I don't know about you, but that's what struck me this morning as I was singing this song. And also as I was reading the passage that we're talking about this morning. Are you prepared for Jesus to be coming back right now? Because the Bible does say something about that. And it also does say something about those who are prepared and those who aren't. Let's open our Bibles this morning and take a look at what the Bible has to say about this subject. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. The words will be on the screen. I want you to have your Bibles with you as well to follow along during the sermon. And at this time, I'll read you the story. I'll tell you a story. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom, you see, was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for all of us. Instead, go to those who sell oil, buy some for yourself." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth. I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Wise and the foolish, waiting to enter the wedding, the banquet of the bridegroom. There are a couple of things we must note about this story. The first thing, the bridegroom took a long time. He took his time. You see, if you pay attention to the hours and what was going on, the bridegroom arrived at midnight for the wedding banquet. This is one that started way late. For us, we normally take our dinners 5, 6, 7, 8. Wedding banquets, 6, 7. He was a full 6 hours late. And they all fell asleep. It's natural. It fell asleep. The passage the speaker didn't condemn them for falling asleep. It just said, hey, they were waiting for a long time. They got drowsy, they fell asleep. That's all there was to it. But you see, there was a difference. The difference is that the wise prepared something to keep their lamps going so that they could go out and meet the bridegroom properly. This was also in the days when there weren't lights all around the place. So the only light was the procession, the virgins, the bridesmaids, if you want to call that. Them going to meet with lights, with lamps. Five of them had oil. The other five did not. And we read in the story very simply that the five who did, the five who were prepared, they were welcomed into the wedding banquet. The other five, they were shut out. And with this voice, with this one condemning sentence from the bridegroom saying, I don't know you. You see, for us, if we are Christians today, that is a scary sentence. Because these virgins, these bridegrooms, 10 of them, they all claim to know the Master. They all claim to know the bridegroom. They all claim to know Jesus Christ coming back. The bridegroom is the Christ figure. But yet, to five of them, he says, I know you. The other five says, I don't know you. You're out. That means that there is something we need to be prepared for. And there is a way we must be prepared. But yet most of us, the thought that Jesus is coming back doesn't even cross our minds during daily lives. Much less, am I prepared for the return of my King? What does it mean to be prepared? What does it mean to be prepared? A couple days ago, I had a very interesting time. Some of you may know my wedding is coming up. My mom has been poking here and saying, hey, you're going to fit into your suit. Ouch. And so I'm just like, okay, fine. But the problem is, I have been very busy this past time. Excuses. And I wasn't able to get out to exercise as much. My usual Sunday soccer routine, I haven't been able to go to. Running, biking, and things like that, I haven't done for a while. And so it has been bugging me. So this last couple days ago, I decided, okay, my head is not in the right space, and my body is not in the right shape, apparently. So I'm going to go out and take a bike ride, because that can help me to clear my thoughts. I need to have some time with God, that kind of thing. Especially because I want to clear my mind to know that what I'm talking about this Sunday, and you go over things and things like that. And so I took my bike out and I started riding. And while I just biked down, and then I decided to bike back home. Okay. And biking back home, if you live on the plateau, you realize biking back home is never just as nice as just, right out here like this. No, it's more like this. So I decided to crank it up and just like, okay, boom, start biking. And the first part was going like really, really nice, and it was just like going, like rocketing up. And then started slowing down. And I was like, no, I'm going to make it to the next intersection. So I keep going and made it to the next intersection. And I stopped. And I almost wanted to throw up. I had to sit down, and I still wanted to throw up. And so I laid down on the sidewalk, put the bike down beside me, and I was like this. And there were cars and people walking by. It's like the evening time, and people were taking strolls and driving home and stuff like that. And there's this guy lying on the floor with a helmet on, like, right here on his chest, like he just, died or something. And it was like, what's going on? I better hold my hand up so that they know I'm alive, that kind of thing. Move my fingers kind of thing. Oh, man, my pride just took a hit. I was like, that never happened to me before. But while I couldn't get up, while I was lying there, because even when I tried to sit up, I feel like throwing up, while I was lying there, God decided to grab a hold of me. And he said to me something. He said, you know, Mark, this biking thing, you haven't done it for like ages. This is kind of like you learning to live life, an attentive life with me. You don't just go from not biking to zooming up Westwood Plateau on your bike just like that. It's something you practice. And it's the same way with you connecting with me, living an attentive life with me. How do you expect to go from not paying much attention to you to all of a sudden really tight, really connected, really in relationship, really attentive to me? It doesn't work just like that. It's not like you can just turn it on and turn it off. The bridesmaids were kind of like that. The foolish ones just expected the bridegroom to be there whenever. And so they didn't have the expectancy. They didn't practice being prepared. They didn't practice paying attention to what they have, who they are, and when the bridegroom might be coming back. Foolish, the wise. You see, I believe the answer to what's being prepared, what does it mean to be prepared for the Lord's coming, is living an attentive life to the God who's attentive to you. Because you see something very important in the story, is that Jesus, the bridegroom himself, said this, "I don't know you." He's someone who pays attention, yet to these people he said, "I don't know you. I don't know you." It's like having a friend or some people you've met once at a party or met once in university. And for those of you who are introverts or more awkward, you may know this, because I'm one of those and I know it very well. You've met someone in class, and you met them, say, a year ago. You said hi and talked a little bit and stuff like that. And then a year later, you run into them again on the campus, but you guys walk in opposite ways, and you guys had this awkward eye contact moment, and then you just keep on going. Sometimes with the Christian life, I wonder whether we're doing that. It's like, hey, I met this Jesus guy. He was really cool, and I said I believe in him. I'm going to follow him, and I never hang out with him. I never live an attentive life before him. I never pay attention to him and listen to him. Only when I'm in trouble do I go to him and ask him to lend me his homework to copy or something. Help me with the test. And then we say, "Jesus, Jesus, don't you know me?" "No, I don't." Walking by, I don't. You never paid attention to me. You see, this story, this bridegroom coming and the virgin story, it's a very practical picture of what happens when you don't have an attentive life before God. It's a very practical picture because it says, you know, these people, you claim to know Jesus. You say, "Jesus, didn't I do a lot of things for you? Didn't I come to church every Sunday for you? Didn't I do well in school for you? Didn't I even serve on this and that and committee and team?" And Jesus says, "I don't know you. Have you come and spent time knowing the Kings of Kings and the Lords of Lords?" I don't know you. What are you spending your life paying attention to? What are you spending your life paying attention to? Your job? Or looking for a job? Your kids? Your report card? Your friends? Do they like me? Do they hate me? Do they love and hate me at the same time? That's complicated. What are you spending your time, your life, your time paying attention to? Because God's call to you to pay attention is all throughout the Bible. Right from the get-go, Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve ate the fruit, sinned, hid in a bush. First thing God asked, where are you? Come, where are you? He knows where they are. Why does he need to tell? Why does he need to ask? Just go to the bush and, you know, grab him by the scuff of the neck and just pull him up. Kind of like cartoons. But no, he says, where are you? Where are you? Moses, 80 years of his life, he felt was wasted. Was a prince of Egypt, now a shepherd, 80-year-old shepherd. Your career path is not going anywhere up when you're 80-year-old and a shepherd. And God lights a bush on fire and keeps that bush on fire. Moses, come, pay attention. Moses, come, pick up your shoes. You're meeting with me. Come. You know, we pay attention to a lot of things, a lot of random things, a lot of things we think are very important nowadays. I read I've been reading some Facebook articles, guilty, and they talk about, sometimes they like, I have some friends from Hong Kong, and they like to harp on their neighbors up north. And so they would talk about moms. Moms imitating the tiger mom. And they would say these moms have a favorite phrase. They said, I don't want my kid to lose at the starting line. So guess what they do? Piano lessons, English lessons, art lessons, blah, 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 blah. Starting from the age of 3 or 2 if they're really diligent about it. I don't want my child to lose on the starting line. Parents, sometimes we want to give our kids the best things, the greatest things, the most important things. Let me ask you this question. Is what you're giving them life-giving? Is what you're giving them leading them to pay attention to the life-giver, to Jesus Christ? Or is what you're giving them, what you're pushing, feeding, is it leading away from Jesus Christ? Young people, this is not about the parents. This is about all of us. By the same token, what are you seeing as the most important thing? What are you seeing as the most important thing to spend your time in? When's the last time you sat down and listened to Jesus Christ? Just last week, I was out in Chilliwack, Camp Karis. I was leading a camp and for the youth, and there were about 9 of them, and it was a great time. Do you know why it was a great time? Because the speaker only talked twice. Speaker's me. And no, I wasn't being lazy. God had put it on my mind to do something a little different with them. You know, for camps, especially camps associated with Chinese churches, we have this routine. We decided that we'll hire a speaker who's nice and, you know, he's a good speaker, he's a good pastor. And what we'll do is we'll make him preach 6 sessions. And you got to come to every single one of them, or else he'll trip you into something. I don't know. And we sit there the whole weekend taking notes like it's a mini weekend course. And our heads are just jam-packed with stuff. And we wonder why this was ever called a retreat. So God told me to do something a little different with them. And he said to me, Mark, these guys need to pay attention to me. Sometimes I like to talk through you, but you know, I would really like to talk to myself. So now if you would give me some space here, Mark. And so, Saturday, the whole day, I spoke six lines. Six sentences. Okay, Vivian will probably say I spoke a little more than that, but all I did with them was I read out six Bible verses, three in the morning and three at night. And I invited them into prayer with these Bible verses. And then I send them out. Don't stay here. Go find a place. Go take a walk. Go listen. At the end of the camp, none of them grew halos. None of them grew wings and became angels. None of them had things that immediately seem different. But what they do tell me is that, yes, I was having a chat with God. And yes, he was speaking to me. And yes, it was what I need. See, what is it that we're really paying attention to? And what is it that we really need? This story from Matthew is brought to us today. And it's a charge to every single one of you. If Jesus comes back tomorrow, will he know you? Will he know you as a person, but also as a friend, also as someone who follows him, and also as someone who paid attention to him and is a dear friend to him? What will he find? I mentioned Moses. First 80 years of his life, wasted. Decided to pay attention to God. To a bush, to God speaking through a burning bush. The next 40 years of his life, filled with amazing, filled with frustrations, filled with God. I don't think he ever regretted that. It's never too late. But he paid attention. He finally learned to pay attention. Attentiveness to God is a gift to us. Without Jesus Christ coming down to die for us on the cross, without Jesus Christ forgiving our sins, we simply can't learn to pay attention to God and see a new way of life. I saw a video a year ago of two patients. One of them, a child, and the other one, a young woman. Both of them were deaf. They can't hear. And there was a new revolutionary surgery that allowed them to hear again. And this surgery was first performed on them. And this video was their first reaction. And you can see the child. You should see the child. The first time, he was playing in this own thing. And then they activated the device. And they heard mommy and daddy calling their name for the first time. Eyes full of wonder. Eyes full of amazement. You see, when Jesus Christ did what he did for us, it's like turning that switch. Eyes full of wonder. Eyes full of amazement. You see a world now filled with God. You see a world now that looks different because God is there. And the things and priorities you once hold are no longer the same. This world is different. The young woman, she has been able to hear before, a little bit. She lost her hearing. When they turned her device on, when she heard again for the first time, she burst into tears, laughing while crying at the same time. That's what seeing this world, that's what being able to pay attention to a world filled with God is like. It's a gift to us, but it's also a practice. It is also of work. In Matthew 25, later on, Jesus Christ says something very interesting. He separated people into sheep and goats, and he says to the sheep, I know you. Thank you for taking care of me. And those people were wondering, Jesus, when did we take care of you? Jesus said to them, when you show love to the least of my brothers and sisters, when you show love to one of the least of your brothers and sisters, you're showing love to me. Those people paid attention. They know Jesus Christ tells them to love each other as I have loved you. And so they paid attention and they worked out that life. And they know Jesus. But to the goats, those people were saying, Jesus, didn't we do this for you, perform miracles? We healed people, we preached, we did all these amazing things. Why are you saying we don't know you? Jesus says, I don't know you. You never paid attention to me. When you pay attention to Christ, he leads you to a life that is filled with those ministries and works that shows Christ's love. But it is not by the works that you do that you get to know Jesus Christ. You want to know Jesus Christ? You learn to pay attention to him. You learn to pay attention to him from here in prayer. Because, you know, he is coming back. And what will he say to you if he comes back tomorrow? Will he know you? Let's pray. Father God, today, very simply, I ask, put your word in our hearts. Take whatever is not from you out of it. And help us to pay attention to you. Whether it means we start by quieting our hearts, going off to find a quiet place, just to pray. Whether it means turning off our cell phones, turning off the distractions in our lives just for a moment, just for a while, to listen. Help us to pay attention to you. And from that attentive life, may we live your life out. To love those who have no love. To help those stand who can't stand by themselves. And to help those who have nothing. For you didn't die for us, but you died for all of us. Help us to hear you. Help us to know you. And help us to not be content with just saying, I do to Jesus, and then walking past him as if he's just an acquaintance. Help us to come and pay attention to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our God is a consuming fire, a burning
receive God's blessing upon your lives today, taken from the passage of Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen and amen. Please be seated. After silent prayer, please join us downstairs for coffee time. We have a coffee time downstairs because of the rain outside, and I'm so pleased to say that to you this morning. May you go up with God's blessing, and as we've been reminded, to keep our eyes attentively on the Lord Jesus Christ throughout this week, throughout this month, throughout this year. Amen? Amen. May God be with you.